ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Go to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to pick up in verse 3, where John says this. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him, out of himself also walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. And he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. In other words, the evidence for your faith is seen in your obedience to the Lord. On the other end of the spectrum, a life that is lived after the flesh and is seen in your disobedience to the Lord. That should just make sense. Think about it. Circumcision is meaningless unless we see the outward changes, and that is true with baptism. You know, if there's no change in your life, have you really given your life to the Lord? There should be. Not that we're perfect. None of us are. We're all going to sin. We're all going to stumble. But is there a change in your life? Can people see the change in you? And the only way that's going to happen is walking that Spirit-filled life. Obedience is so important. The last point I want to focus on this morning, and we touched on it a little already, is death to the old life, to cut it out. So turn back to Joshua chapter 5, look at verse 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal, or rolling, to this day. Think about it. All that the children of Israel had been through, God brought them out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, destroyed the Egyptian army that was coming after them, provided food and water for them in the wilderness. Their shoes didn't wear out, but their unbelief brought a reproach upon them and upon God. In the end, it was that generation that refused to walk by faith that died in the wilderness. What we see here is God rolling that away from their lives. That's what Gilgal means, the place of rolling. Was this accomplished? By their radical trust in the Lord and their obedience to him. That's how it was accomplished. Told them to be circumcised, and they were. This was important because when God gives them instructions on how to defeat Jericho, wow, you really have to trust the Lord when the Lord tells you, walk around the city once for 7 days. Seventh day, walk seven times, blow the trumpets, the walls will fall down. Joshua, you need to get out of the sun, man. You need to see someone. That is the worst battle plan I've ever heard, right? I mean, come on, that's how we're going to win? You have to trust the Lord. And it's not always easy. And again, I've shared with you before with the whole radio station thing, you know, how the city didn't want us to have the big tower here because they didn't think it was legal. And, you know, for almost 9-10 years, we didn't have the big tower we had. You could go 15 feet above the tallest part of your building. So we were about 28 feet up on the garage with our radio tower. And you could still see the little one up there. So finally, you know, we talked with the city again, and they said, well, you know, what you could do is build a steeple. And then you can go 15 feet above the steeple to put your radio tower. So we were going to put up a 45-foot steeple, and then 15 feet above that we could put the radio tower on. So we called the contractor in, and, you know, he wasn't happy about the steeple. You know, it's a big project. It's not just putting a big steeple on the top of a building. He actually had to go through the roof of the garage and stabilize it on the floor of the building, because 45 feet is pretty tall, I guess, for a steeple. So he went to the city, and he said, why can't they have a tower? And the inspector said, go ahead and build it. You just got to trust the Lord. You know, for years we just sat back, and all of a sudden the Lord was starting to stir us. We need to build a taller tower. And we took the step of faith, and we thought, well, a steeple will work, but the Lord had the tower in mind. But we had to take those steps of faith. And isn't that what God calls us to do? Sometimes it seems ridiculous. We've tried already. The city said, no, it makes no sense. We're going to do this other thing. And I said, no, go ahead, step out in faith in that, and I'm going to change things around a little bit. And he did. You have to trust in the Lord. And it's hard because God is working in us, sanctifying us. Turn over to Romans 6 for a minute. You know, that old life and the new life we have in Christ don't get along, you know? They fight against each other. And this is what Paul said in Romans 6, starting in verse 5. He said, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon or consider yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Let's just read a couple more verses here. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in its lust. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments or weapons of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Here's the picture that Paul is painting for us. That old man, that old life was placed on the cross with Christ and was crucified. The body of sin is put out of business. It's done away with. We're no longer slaves to it. And yet we love to build up the flesh today. And the Bible says the flesh, there's no good in it. There's nothing good in the flesh. And I realize that upsets some people, but that's what the Bible says. In fact, in Galatians 5:24, Paul said, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." In other words, we put that flesh nature to death. And once you do that, don't allow it to resurrect itself. Now, here in Romans 6:6, when Paul speaks of the old man, many believe it's speaking of the old nature. Now, if that were true, when we come to Christ, the old nature was crucified with Christ. It's dead and gone. We only have this new nature with us. How many of you think that you don't deal with sin at all in your lives? We all do. Every single day. Well, most of the time when I'm sleeping, I'm doing really good. When I open my eyes, I get into trouble. But we struggle with it, that flesh and the spirit. And I don't think the old man and old nature are the same thing. In fact, in Ephesians 4:22, we are told that this term, old man, is your former conduct. Paul put it like this. He said, "Then you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust." Our old nature doesn't grow corrupt. The old man does, but the old nature doesn't. Why? Because it's already corrupt. That old nature is corrupt. That's the problem. And if you read through Ephesians 4:22, you can clearly see that Paul is speaking of our old conduct, the things we did and not the old nature. And here's this battle that goes on because we have this old nature in us. And it tries to resurrect itself. And what we do is we take the Word of God and we apply the Word of God to our lives, asking the Holy Spirit to work in us and give us the ability to walk according to the high calling by which we've been called. We need to be obedient to the Lord because He knows what's best for our lives. And that flesh, that old nature, will be with us until we go home to be with the Lord, when we get our new bodies. So it's a battle that we have to deal with on a daily basis. In fact, in verse 7, that phrase, has been freed from sin, can literally be translated, has been justified or declared righteous. That's what God has done for us. He's declared us righteous. We know the reality of that. We still sin. But didn't Jesus die for all my sins? Yes. So we are declared righteous because the shed blood of Christ has paid for my sins yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. But I still have to deal with these things. And if anyone thinks that, hey, I have no problem with sin anymore, you're a liar. First of all, pride is a big issue in your life, and you need to deal with that. Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. How many of you struggle with that? Absolutely. It's a battle. And I'm so thankful for the Lord, because he doesn't leave us all alone. But he is right there with us, helping us to win these battles. The thing is, what are you feeding? Because I will guarantee you, if you feed the flesh, you will live a life of the flesh. And if you live the spirit, if you feed the Spirit, you will live a life of the Spirit. Oh, that's so simplistic, Joe. You know, I need simple things, guys. The hard part is living that way. And Paul says that we need to surrender to the Spirit of God. We need to crucify the flesh. In fact, in Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 24, listen to what Paul said. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Here's the thing. Isn't it hard to live in this world? Yes. That's why you need the cleansing of the Word. You're out in the world all day. You're working with people in the world. And you need to be cleansed by the washing of the Word. That's important. And it's easy to start going along with them. I'll give you this illustration. It's not an illustration. It's an actual thing that happened. We all know what happened in New York. This legislation for abortion through the ninth month, right? Unbelievable. So sad. Breaks my heart. And you see them signing the document with just this, you know, smile on their face as they're murdering children. That disturbed me a lot, but what disturbed me more was the group of ministers who were also rejoicing in it. I don't know where they're at. I don't believe every single one of them is a believer. I don't know how you can be. But let's just say some of them are. What happened? You got too close to the world. You let the world influence your life so much that now you look just like them. I don't want to discourage you, but we're not to look like the world. We're to look like Christ. Paul was a follower of Jesus and said, imitate me as I follow Christ. That's the key, guys. Who are we putting on? Are we putting on Jesus? Or are we putting on the world? I see it in the music industry a lot today, Christian music industry, where they want to be so much like the world that now they even say, well, I'm not really a Christian artist. What happened? What happened? Is it because you can't make the money? You can't get the big concerts? Did God die? That he's not going to help you? Maybe you won't be a millionaire. Maybe you won't sell a million records. But God has given you a gift to worship him by. to bring others into a relationship with Jesus by, and now I'm no longer a Christian artist. Something's wrong. We've made our worship into a concert with lights and smoke machines and all these other things. Again, if I offend you, I offend you. It's okay. Worship is not about you. Why don't we understand that? I'm not here to worship you. Sorry. I'm here to worship God. And I don't care if we have drums and guitars and singers, or we have one person singing a cappella. It doesn't matter, because we are here to worship God. It's all about Him and not about me. If I want a light show and a fog show, I'll go to a concert. If I want to be entertained, I'll go see a movie or something. But when I come to church, I don't want entertainment. I don't want a rock concert. I want to worship God and hear what He has for me. Because that's the only way I am going to walk a Spirit-filled life. And I'm not coming down on you guys, believe me, because this is for me. I'm just sharing with you what God has given to me. This is what He has shown me. And you could take it or leave it. That's up to you. But I know that He wants us to be more like Him each and every day. Paul in Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10 said, "Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." We're renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. You know what? As we're reading God's Word, as the Holy Spirit is opening it up to us, He's transforming us. People say, "I don't feel God." Well, what is He going to have to do? Smack you upside the head? "I don't hear God speak to me anymore. Have you ever opened up the Bible?" And again, I think I shared this a couple of weeks ago. If you feel that way, that you're not hearing from God anymore, read the Bible out loud. And then you'll hear from God. Because this is God's Word to us. He's speaking to us. I don't care if you're reading Leviticus or Romans. It doesn't matter. He's speaking to us. He's renewing us. We're a new creation in Christ. And this is not a resuscitation. It's a transformation. I don't want to resuscitate the old life. I've had enough problems with it. I want to crucify it. And I want to be transformed into the new creation that God has for me. To be more like Christ. I like that. Walking in that newness of life, that abundant life that God has for us. As we trust in the Lord and obey Him, surrender our lives to Him, how wonderful that is. The problem is that the unsaved world sometimes looks at a carnal, half-hearted Christian who claims to love God and yet is still wandering in a spiritual wilderness. And they mock them and they make fun of them. Just like they were doing with the children of Israel, wandering 40 years in the wilderness, mocking them. You can't live with one foot in the world and one foot walking with God, because it doesn't work. Stop living between two worlds. Stop playing games with God. Live for Him. Again, I've been a Christian for 35 plus years. I can't imagine. You know, it's like Peter said, "Lord, where else will I go? You alone have the words of eternal life." Doesn't mean it's easy. But boy, where are you going to go? I mean, think about it. You know, we give into this flesh. And we do things that we shouldn't be doing, didn't want to do, but we gave in. The devil tempted us. Oh, come on, it's not that bad. And so we do it. And you know what the devil does? He whispers in your ear, "So you're a Christian? Doesn't look like it to me. Wait a minute, you just told me to do this. Now you're condemning me for doing it?" Exactly. Exactly. He's trying to destroy your life. He gets you to sin, and then he condemns you for it. God doesn't condemn us in Christ Jesus. He will correct us because He loves us. And if you ever feel being pushed away from God by condemnation, it's not from God. God will convict you and it'll draw you closer to Him, because you will see you can't do it. You need Him. And you have to surrender your life completely to Him. That's the key. If anyone here this morning feels, man, I've blown it so much. How could God love me? He doesn't care for me. That's it. You're not listening to God. You're listening to the devil. God loved you so much, He died on the cross of Calvary to pay in full the penalty for your sins. And you really think you were that great of a person when He died for you? Are you kidding me? None of us were. And that's how much He loves us. And that love never stops. And I'm so thankful for that. So if you want to stop wandering in the wilderness of compromise and carnality, you got to reckon that old life to be dead and buried and come up new in Christ. Put to death the flesh that's trying to control your life. Feed the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Death to the old life, you need to cut it out. And I'll just kind of sum it up with this one writer, David Jackman, put it like this. He said, the physical sign of circumcision was always intended to lead to a circumcised heart marked by obedience to God's law. Now in the gospel, the law of God is written on the heart of the believer. And the power of the risen Christ transforms people, liberating them from the downward pull of the sinful nature and empowering them to live in the newness of life. The implications of this are further spelled out in Philippians 3:3, where the apostle tells his readers, we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Instead, the Christian's confidence and glory is in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he worships by the indwelling Spirit. These then are the essential foundations on which we need to build if we are to enter into all that can potentially be ours through the gospel. If baptism is the outward sign of initiation into the body of Christ, then such a person is one who has been crucified with Christ, who no longer relies on his own imagined righteousness, and who no longer puts any confidence in himself. Yet Christians are confident people. We know our sin and guilt only too well, but we also know, by God's grace, that every sin and failure has been dealt with once and for all in the cross of Christ. As we put our faith in His finished work and draw upon His risen power through the indwelling Holy Spirit, we can begin to appropriate in our own lives the benefits of His victory over all the hostile powers. Amen to that. We have victory in Christ, but we need to be willing to surrender to Him. The call of God, we looked at. As God calls you to do something, step out in faith. Do a look back. Yeah, it's important to look back and learn, remember those lessons that the Lord has shown us so that we don't go down the wrong path. A look at the present. We should always evaluate our Christian walk and change those things that need to be changed. We don't want to become stagnant, but we want to keep falling in love with Jesus over and over again. Our obedience. We may not always like what the Lord is calling for us to do, but we have to walk by faith and be obedient to what His Word says, opened up to us by His Spirit. And then death to the old life, cut it out. And if you try to live a life in the world and in Christ, it doesn't work, as I've said. The world will win out because Satan is very good at tempting us with all kinds of different things. You have to crucify the flesh, cut it out, you might say, and walk in the newness of life that we have in Christ. Again, just I'll close with this, Joshua 5:9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Again, let the Lord lead you into a life of full commitment. Let the Lord perform spiritual heart surgery on you by cutting away the old life of sin and carnality so you can live in the Spirit. Again, I don't know where any of you are at this morning, but if you're struggling in this area, surrender to God and experience your own personal Gilgal, you might say. The Lord has rolled away the reproach of the world from me. Praise God for that, right? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, and Lord, some heavy lessons here. And Lord, I just pray that we take them to heart, that there it's just not a Sunday message that we hear right now and walk out the door and forget about it, but we meditate upon it. We think about these things, and we do battle with the flesh by starving it, by not feeding it. And we build up the inner man by feeding the Spirit, being in the Word of God, being in prayer, doing those things, Lord, that you've called us to do. Help us to step out in faith and see the salvation you'll bring to the situations we face in our lives. This preparation is easy, but it's needed in each of our lives. And we need to prepare each and every day. It's not a one-time thing where we crucify the flesh and we're done. We do battle every day with the flesh. And we need that cleansing of your word, Lord, each and every day. Wash us clean. Help us not become like this world, but become like you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us? As we feast on God's word, come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.